You're listening to Podcaster Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. Podcaster Practice brings you expert-led independent medical education discussions, inspiring healthcare professionals to maximize their learning and make measurable changes in their own clinical practice. This podcast is part of an independent medical education program entitled T2D and CKD, Putting Evidence into Practice, and is supported by an independent educational grant from Novo Nordisk.
Hello out there, and welcome to this independent medical educational program. The title of the program is Type 2 Diabetes and CKD, or Chronic Kidney Disease, Putting the Evidence into Practice. My name is Tina Bilsbo. I am a professor at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark, and I'm also a consultant at Steno Diabetes Center, also in Copenhagen, Denmark. It's an honor to be here and share mine and other thoughts within this very, very rapidly developing field. I'm a scientist, but I'm also a clinician, so I also have challenges every day in my clinical practice into how to do it in the right way. Because I think all of you will agree with me that obesity, but very much indeed type 2 diabetes, is increasing worldwide. We know right now we have approximately 500 million people worldwide having the diagnosed type 2 diabetes. Recent years have changed the life story of type 2 diabetes dramatically. Both we have more individuals with type 2 diabetes, but they also live longer with the different complications that they add on during their lives with diabetes. We have talked a lot about cardiovascular disease the recent years, which is, of course, a macrovascular complication, but we also have to remind ourselves about microvascular complications, eyes, kidneys, and nerves, when we sit in front of our patients. We know actually that approximately 40% of our patients with type 2 diabetes, they will eventually develop chronic kidney disease. We also know that it goes hand in hand with the cardiometabolic diseases that we know from cardiovascular disease, because 1 out of 3 of our patients actually have cardiovascular disease, and eventually many of our patients, they end up dying with a combination of cardiovascular disease and also chronic kidney disease. And that is why we have actually developed this program, because we want to share our thoughts with, does it matter to do early detection, early diagnosis, and early and to some extent aggressive treatment of our patients? Right now, diabetic kidney disease is actually the common cause of kidney failure. It's actually the most abundant reason for patients ending up in end-stage renal disease and eventually needing kidney replacement, transplantation, and dialysis. We also know that, as I said before, it goes hand in hand with cardiovascular disease, and many patients die with a combination of this. But it's not only the heart and the kidneys, it's also other things as retinopathy, neuropathy, peripheral artery disease, amputations. And also we know that many of our patients with chronic kidney disease, they suffer with anemia, and it's becoming more and more complicated. And often we need not only the GP or the endocrinologist, we need to collaborate with the cardiologist, the nephrologist, etc. We have learned during the recent years that we need to do early diagnosis to detect microalbuminuria, high blood pressure, etc. And we have learned actually for a long time that it makes sense to do multifactorial intervention early. I think many of you have heard about the Steno 2 study. It was part of Steno years ago. I was not part of it, but it was a landmark study demonstrating how we need to do multifactorial intervention to save lives and to change the life story of patients with type 2 diabetes, actually with chronic kidney disease. It's still the backbone of our treatment, but many new treatment possibilities have been developed during this recent years. We've had the SGLT2 inhibitors and the GLP-1 receptor agonist on the market for quite a long time now. And one of the things that we will discuss in this educational program here is how to place them in the treatment algorithm. Because it all actually starts by detecting the kidney disease or the microalbuminuria. And I know that when we sit in front of our patients with diabetes, there are so many things to do. We need to do a collaboration with the patient of how to focus our attention. Is it blood pressure? Is it glucose? Is it LDL cholesterol? And remembering just to sample a urine to test whether patients actually have albuminuria or not, to measure their GFR or their eGFR, creatinine is also important on a regular basis. But we need to do so because the challenge, in contrast to angina or vision changes, then the challenge is actually that when we talk about diabetic kidney disease, it is for many years asymptomatic. So patients can have had microalbuminuria for years. They can have had slightly elevated creatinine without us giving it attention. And if we don't measure it, we don't detect the early diabetic kidney changes that we know. And that is a challenge because we actually have excellent tools in our toolbox to do something to prevent the development into decrease in kidney function and helping our patients to end up not as patients with end-stage renal disease. So it's important to detect it, to treat it, and then to help our patients to be in the best condition. During this educational program, we have different initiatives, and one of the things that we would really, really love to do is to share the recent evidence. I think you all have seen the EASD ADA position statement or guidelines where it's being discussed. Usually, as I said, the left part of the guidelines, we have patients with atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, kidney disease, and heart failure. In those individuals, it's mandatory that we treat our patients with either SGLT2 inhibitors or GLP-1 receptor agonists. But it develops rapidly, and I think many of you have probably also seen the ADA and the KDIGO guidelines. They also develop continuously because we have more and more evidence demonstrated that these modern treatment or modern classes of treating patients, it used to be only glucose lowering effects, but now we see that we're actually changing the life story of the diabetic kidney disease in patients with type 2 diabetes. And I think it's important, and that is what we will discuss here, when to use the different classes, how to use them, either one class itself or in combination. And we will have different aspects to discuss here. We'll also actually, at the end, have a patient. I think it's very important to have the discussion with a patient. And so we'll have a patient in the program who has diabetic kidney disease to see it from another perspective. There are many things to consider when you have patients. You know, it's a chronic disease. There are many things to lifestyle intervention, medication, just all the time you need to use when you are a patient with complicated diabetes, how to prioritize it. And I really enjoy also seeing the treatment from the eyes of a patient. And you'll have the opportunity to do that in this program, where I'll have a discussion with the patient to get a lot of information from, you could say, on the other side of the table, but also to give you some tricks to do it as best as possible with the patient in focus. You need to register, but by that, you'll have the opportunity to see the podcast and the case series as they are released from the platform. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for listening to Podcast to Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. For more information on our educational programs available, visit ime.springerhealthcare.com.